Sky Blue Stories is recorded at the Hills Podcast Studio at the Bella Vista Hotel.
Arrow Sports sponsors Sky Blue Stories, and if you have found it hard or it's been hard to find your perfect sports jerseys, never mind. Head to www.arrowsport.com.au. From football to basketball, netball to rugby, Arrow Sport has you covered. Right now on Instagram, catch their latest designs and prototypes at @arrow_sportau.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, excited.
Thank you so much. And thanks for saying I'm your favorite player.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
No problems, guys. Thank you for having us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Thank you. Thank you for having me on here.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for having me on. Hey, guys. How are you going?
No problems at all, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. It's a nice introduction.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
A good laugh, a good chat. So I enjoyed it. Thanks, boys.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sky Blue Stories. It is a mammoth episode. We have an interview with Steve Corica coming up, as well as Eric, one of our beautiful, beautiful patrons. Thank you, Eric, and thank you, Steve, for your time. I'm joined, of course, by Sean Maloney.
Hello.
And the beautiful Jonathan Finger.
Why didn't Sean get a descriptor?
Oh, because Sean's gotten enough praise today.
Can I just say something before we move on?
Yeah.
I just want to say hello, Mrs. Corica. I hope I bump into you one day walking into IKEA as well. I hope you're well.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
That's
yes,
so nice.
And a special shout out for any perhaps wife relations to any of the backroom staff at Sydney FC. Thank you for your continued support.
And metrics.
Yeah, and passing on the good messages that Sean has to say about. It's been a roller coaster hour. Prior to recording this bit, which you're now listening to first, we've spoken not only with Eric, one of our great patrons who I already told you about, but of course, we've already spoken to Steve Corica. It was a great chat. Steve took the opportunity while he was on air recording with us to take I was going to describe it as a pot shot, but it wasn't really
It was very lighthearted. We go way back.
It was.
Yeah. You guys are tight.
It was a roundhouse at Sean.
No. It's just two mates ribbing. It's just ribbing. Just chewing the fat, and Steve.
Nice.
Yeah. Good bloke.
Stay tuned for that interview. Thank you very much again for joining us, Steve Corica. It was probably the greatest pleasure Jono and I have had doing this podcast.
I enjoyed it. It was a pleasure. I felt
absolutely brilliant. And we're sorry for the language for any of those people that may listen to the podcast that are perhaps related to people that are on the staff at Sydney FC.
Who have we sworn at now?
No, not sworn at, just, you know, we make some uncouth jokes, and now we've found out.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about those.
Yeah, no,
because I don't make them because I'm a nice person.
I'm feeling particularly mothered at the moment.
I think you guys should be ashamed of yourselves.
I am absolutely flattered and overwhelmed with, to be honest, joy that we've had the kind of evening that we have.
I'm glad you didn't say raw emotion this time.
No, I can't do that. Yes, you just lost words now.
Adelaide it is, gents. Adelaide it is.
Yep.
For a fourth time this season, one win, one loss, one draw.
What a great evening.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good this week.
It has been a great evening, and it will be a great evening.
Are you excited?
I am excited. I'm excited for what's happened and what's to come.
Are you really excited?
I am.
The fist. you're doing.
What?
You're the fist.
Of?
You're pumped.
Adelaide?
Yep.
Okay.
Should we go around the grounds?
Yeah, let's let's start a podcast and stop being silly, James.
Look, we just want to say one of our favourite Sky Blue sons in Luke Braddon. Congratulations, Brats. Another member, another addition to the family, potentially another caddy for you as you knock that golf ball around.
Yeah.
But also a bittersweet moment too, Braddon, although you've welcomed a new member of the family to the Braddon family. You probably will be seeing less of the golf course.
He was out there yesterday.
I was thinking that when the little baby was born, I was like, oh, he might get a few less rounds at the golf course. But then, lo and behold, he's at the golf course. God love him.
I think his lovely partner knows that he's putting time into his career post-football to keep putting food on the table for that growing
tour.
Family of his.
And the next bit that came across my eyes was, you know, we've talked about this before, but Branners, and then the, you know, very reputable SBS The World Game. Yeah.
Very reputable and now defunct.
Now defunct and non-existent. But came out with just pulling straws. It's you know, like when there's a crime and like that person's got all the red string trying to like line things up on their big wall.
Yes. I believe in the biz they call it clickbait.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Because most of the article really had little to nothing to do with him. They started waffling on about other players. But they just think, oh, okay, Branners is off to Perth, apparently. Maybe, still possibly.
Still a possibility, of course. Yeah. But, you know, for Brandon to come out then and...
Yes,
say and this actually is bullshit.
Post, yeah. Well...
Not bullshit, but it just...
To say, you know, let me grieve my...
Yeah,
with my father. Family,
that Instagram story, yeah.
So... The fact that he's gone and had to do that is
douse some flames on it.
Sad, yeah. but I think it also sort of says, yeah, look, I'd rather you didn't speculate about what I'm doing next in my life.
And
sort of thing.
Look, let's take the obvious, you know, family situation out of it and talk pure footballing for a second, where Brandon's concerned. Mm. He knows where his bread's buttered.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's right. Mm. That's so, right.
I think if it's a footballing decision, it's us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Next little bit on the agenda, fellas, a bit of club and squad business. The wonderful Claire Wheeler, who I've had quite a few huge raps on, she had a stellar W League season with the Sky Blue Ladies. She wasn't there for the first, I want to say, about three or so games, but she made her way into that starting 11 in that kind of number 10 role, and she is off to Denmark, sealing a move to 11-time Danish champion. I'm going to have a Fortuna. Hoaring?
Joring?
Is it a silent H? Huh? A joring?
Is it a silent yay?
Yeah. James? And then it's got the O with the line through it.
Yeah? Is it the J a yay? Joring?
I know you like silent yays.
Mm. I am a silent Ames.
But a big move for her boys, nonetheless. Sorry, focus.
Sorry.
Big move for her, nonetheless. On the back of we've seen the other women head off to Tottenham. But, you know, Arsenal and stuff. What?
Yeah, released on Lana Kennedy.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, go
on. Oh, she went to the MLS. Oh, MLS, whatever it's called, the women's.
Yeah, Tottenham released like 10 or 11 women at the end of the season.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah,
anyway.
Cleaning.
But, you know, this might be an opportunity for Claire to go away, play in the Danish league and perhaps maybe seal a squad spot for 2023 with the Women's World Cup. But she's an incredibly talented footballer, so I am not surprised. She had a killer of a season with the
and
women.
Claire, if you're listening, please give Christian Eriksen a hug for us.
Yes, please do. Massive hugs. The other thing was Danny, Mr. APL himself, get behind us and we'll deliver. So there was an article this week. There was
he is gorgeous, again, so I would.
He's a handsome devil.
The most handsome.
Yeah. Mm. Probably, I reckon he'd be top three of good-looking executives across Australia.
Oh, like in ooh, okay.
Yeah. Men in all and women. Of business.
Who else is in your top three?
Clive Palmer. I don't know. I'll have to do my research. I'll get back to
Gina
you next
Reinhardt.
Week.
Yeah, I was going to say Gina. Yeah.
Twiggy.
Anastasia Palaszczuk.
Twiggy's a lost a handsome little bit. Country gentleman.
Going, yeah, Mr. Iron Ore, I think he is. Anyway, one thing, or there were several things that came out of that just chat and discussion with him was putting the fans and customers first. He's seeing us, the blokes, the average Joe and Jane's there as the biggest stakeholder in the game.
Yeah, the average Jonathan and James is there. Did you hear that?
Joe and Jane.
Joe and Jane. Seriously. Average God. Joe
just
and Jane.
Leave yourself out of that one, Joe. Yeah,
you are average. but no, absolutely fantastic news.
Base
and
is average.
Taking off our Sky Blue story glasses, I don't think you could have a better person at the helm of the APL and helping to make decisions to grow this game and move it forward into greener pastures. And of course, seen recently with the 10 play or, you know, Paramount Plus broadcast deal. Something else that was there, James.
Yes.
Discussion and decisions around the future of VAR.
Oh, that's exciting.
Everyone's hated VAR. I like what Danny said. He said it will be reviewed in the off season. I see a lot of discontent that needs to be taken seriously. It's far from perfect. It needs attention and needs to improve. If it can't improve, we need to consider removing it.
Look, I think the Germans have proven that it can be done well. You know, I know there may not
be. How do they do it differently to us or the rest of the
world? They basically just
better referees.
But, well, yeah, but they the Bundesliga I watched many years ago, when it was first implemented, I believe, and I was in, you know, Malaysia at this time, so heavily jet lagged and blah, blah, blah. But I believe the referees can go, I'm not too sure about that myself. It's a tight call. I shall choose to review it before I give you the red card or before I give you the pen, right? It can also be referred, but I think they had the option to do it themselves.
Okay.
It was certainly the opposite of the Premier League style VAR that was first rolled out, where there was no on-field review, no screens whatsoever, and it all happened in a bunker somewhere. And certainly a lot of that stuff happens for us as well. But I think the referee has to look at it, and the referee makes the decision themselves, as opposed to someone in a bunker or a shipping container going, yeah, there's a tiny little line and it looks like crap.
Yeah. And what's the EPL come out? Like, we're going to make the line thicker?
Or yes, which will help Timo Werner.
Nothing will help Timo
Werner. But at least it's on the table to possibly remove. I don't think they will. It probably does have a place in the game, but the rules and regulations about how it's used need to be improved.
Yes, yeah. Very well said. What about designated player, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Who are we signing? Who are we signing, James?
Is that the David Beckham tier?
Is so outside the cat. We're going back to it's another word for a marquee, let's be honest.
Yeah, we've got a little bit somewhat not but an it's inside in a word, but $300,000 to
$600,000 a year range. Yeah, something I like think that. That's a Brandon O'Neill. That's
what a coincidence,
right? But it is like a player of his caliber having come back from Asia earning one would assume, not that we have any idea or any sort of inside scoop. There's a very clear disclaimer. You would assume would have been earning more in Asia than he was here in Australia. Kind of slots in nicely to that cap.
Absolutely.
To that designated player.
There was a little bit of clash or lashing back that, hang on, shouldn't we be, you know, we don't need more internationals coming. We should be growing the young talent. Look at the likes of, say, Central Coast. But we also need to find a happy medium and getting bums on seats and eyes on the telly of watching football games. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to go to an international player. It could, you know, Brandon O'Neill's an Aussie.
It depends on what the rules around the spending of that money does. You know, if it's like the war chest that the FFA had, you know, the Tim Cahill rule, then there's going to have to be someone that puts bums on seats, sort of thing. But all will be revealed. It does really sound like there's some really exciting stuff coming along. Again, further news today that CBS Viacom has purchased the national rights, so the national team's rights. So really creating that home of football and something that, you know, we haven't had for a while and that we feared, you know, we'd be having to sign up for multiple streaming services and get our football from, you know, six or seven different places. But
you can almost get your football your Australian football under one roof.
Yeah, so things looking up. It's basically what Danny's saying. As he said, get behind us and we'll deliver. So. Yeah. We will be doing that.
And coming up now, we've got our interview that we have spoken about so far with Steve Corriger. Steve was kind enough to join us from his son's soccer training this evening, where he took some time out on the sidelines to have a quick chat with us, about 20 minutes long. Very insightful. A couple of niggling comments, knowing comments towards Sean, which I'm sure you'll find all very, very exciting. So please enjoy.
Exceptionally grateful to be joined by the only manager in Sydney FC history to win back-to-back championships for the club, and he's a chance to become the first in A-League history to win three in a row in just a couple of weeks' time. But first, we've got to get through Adelaide United this weekend. It's a big Sky Blue Stories. Welcome to Stevie Corriger. Well, Steve, welcome to the podcast, mate.
Hi, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
Mate, thanks so much for joining us and looking ahead to the semi-final with us this week. It's another big game, another big week for Sydney FC. Never a dull moment.
No, definitely. These are the ones that we obviously look forward to towards the end of the season, getting ourselves into this kind of position. And we're here again. Obviously, Adelaide's a tough opponent, and I think it's a great game on Saturday. And, you know, we want to get through this one to get into another final, which, you know, we want to go for the three-peat, which we spoke about a lot, obviously, all year. And so far, so good.
Absolutely, absolutely. Before we get onto the game, mate, some exciting news recently with the announcement of Sky Park and the upgrades to Macquarie there. What impact do you think this is going to have on the team and the squad and I guess yourself and your colleagues and staff as a whole?
Oh, you guys have been out to Macquarie, what we've been at the moment. Obviously, it's a little bit older now and the facility's a little bit run down. But, we're getting through it. But SkyPass is going to be amazing. Obviously, everyone under the one roof, I think, is the most important thing as well, because we've got some office staff at Moore Park, some, obviously, the football staff out at Macquarie. So, just have everyone out there. The academy will be all working, under the one roof as well, the NPL, the W League, and then obviously first grade there as well. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. And, it's just going to bring everyone together, really.
Yeah, under one roof. Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic.
Mr. Corica, out of respect. Congratulations on what has been another successful season, and hopefully some more success to come in the coming days and weeks. The whole season full of football, what has been a highlight? Any highlights from you for this season?
Just games you're talking about? Which games,
players, anything that has been a highlight for you this season?
I think the games that stand out, obviously, the three games against Melbourne, we love beating them, and, we beat them three times this year. The Wanderers is obviously the big one that everyone wants to win. So we finally got the win against them in the most recent game. And probably later on in the season is the Adelaide game that stood out when we did beat them 4-1. So we had a very good run the last six games, I think, back end of the season, I think. And, that gives us a good roll into the semi-finals. So them games stand out for me. Player-wise, there's a lot of good young players coming through that, Neuenhoff, I think saw a little bit of him in the Champions League. I thought he was really good. Bahaja as well. Unfortunately, both these players have been injured. Obviously, he's missed out on a lot of the season. So, Patrick Wood as well, I think, has been doing really well when he's come into the team as well. So,
I love Woody.
Tommy Hewitt-Bell. Yeah.
The squad's got really good depth, and quite evident in the last week with our Socceroos boys heading overseas that, Brisbane, like you said, it wasn't the most amazing game, but we got the job done and played quite well for the most parts, and we haven't really skipped a beat, and hopefully that continues.
Yeah, you're taking three quality players out of your side. It's never easy. They're internationals, and they're experienced players as well. So the thing they've done that in the semi-finals, it'd be great to have you. But these players that have come in, Retre, I know he's one of your favourites as well. Benny Warland, and also Tommy Hewitt-Bell. He's played one game, I think, this season. So, for him to come in and pull off some of them fantastic saves.
Oh, those point blank ones. He was a ninja in the 6-yard box.
He was. So that's great for his, good for his confidence as well leading into the semi-final.
Sorry, Sean. Bimby, was there, just going back, don't want to give too much away for the semi-final, but the boys and I were talking about that right back spot with Buster gone. Was there ever a thought to start Harry ahead of Paolo and maybe, put Paolo into the centre first up, or was it always your plan to have Paolo start at that right back spot and then shift him into the centre later on?
Yeah, that was obviously another option for Harry to start as well. But I think Caceres has been doing a great job in midfield. So, Retro's played that position before. He's got experience as well, maybe a little bit more experience than Harry. But that was obviously the other option, Harry coming into the side. And I think he's going to get game time anyway. I think he's going to play a very important part whether he starts in the semi-final.
It worked. Comes on. It seemed to work very well. Seemed to work very well last week.
Yeah, obviously he come on and scored. What a great goal for him. So we're pleased with these young boys coming on, and like I said, these three players are away with the Socceroos. It's never a great time to have them away, especially in the final, but the boys that have come in, I think they did really well.
Yeah, next man up. Now, Steve, Corica threw COVID, gosh, tongue-tied, threw a bit of a spanner in the works last season, of course, and has this season felt more like usual, or there has still been some struggles and hurdles along the way?
Yeah, still a few hurdles. I think not as bad as obviously last year when it really hit us. This year, you know, we've had a couple of games called off. One actually because of the rain, not so much the COVID. So, and I think there was a lockdown when Melbourne did go into lockdown. I think we missed one of the earlier games against Melbourne. I think that we were supposed to go to. We were actually at the airport. We were on our way to the airport. It got called off, and then we had to turn around and come back. Other than that, we've had the tight schedule though this season. So there's been a lot of times that we've played three games in 6 days or 7 days, which is never easy. But you know, we managed to come through that pretty well, which is great for the players as well. It's good for the players, to be honest with you, because you play so many games. There's not much training, so all they're doing is recovering and getting ready for the next game. So they love it. So that's probably been the major difference this year, the short turnarounds. But yeah, looking forward to getting back to normal now.
Now, Steve, I'm a massive Joel King fan. Who amongst the squad surprised you this season? Perhaps gone up a gear or two?
Yeah, I don't think he surprised me because I think he showed last year exactly what he could do. So, you know, Joel King's played, well, I took him off, I think, once or twice this year just to give him a little bit of a rest, like 5-10 minutes. But, you know, he's a machine. He really is. In training, you know, he gets up and down in the game. He's very consistent as well. I think he's really improved this season as well. He's got a lot better going forward and creating some more chances for us, which is, you know, one of the parts that we wanted to improve from last year. Defensively, he's been great again because we've had the best defence in the league this season. Obviously, he's got a lot of experienced players beside him as well, but he's really done a great job this year, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that was, you know, part of what I was alluding to as well. He's just gone from strength to strength. He's been awesome. Anyone else stand out for you that you're really proud of their growth this season?
Like, I think I touched on them other boys early on. Nieuwenhof, Patrick Wood, Trent Bahaja. Unfortunately, like I said, that they got injured, them two boys. Patrick Wood is going to play a big part, I think, in this final series as well. But you know, they're the younger ones. You know, we got a lot of experienced players as well. You're talking about Wilco. I think he's had one of his best seasons as well. You know, McGowan, he's got back into the national team. That was one of the reasons why he wanted to come to the club as well, to get back into the national team, which we've helped him to do that as well. Ryan Grant has always, you know, Braddon, all these quality players, which they all lead by example, because there are some unbelievable skills that this kid has. So, you know, he's doing. I think he's done had a very good season as well. And then we haven't even mentioned Ninkovic in all this.
Well, he goes
and
right.
And our two main strikers now. You know, so I think obviously Bobo and Lafondra played a very big part because I think, you know, we struggled a little bit to score goals early in the season, and I think since Bobo's come in and he's got himself fit, he started to score goals. And you know, with Adam coming in late on in the season, it's been a great signing as well because he's freshened up the squad. And they're both fantastic goal scorers. You know, they are two most prolific goal scorers ever. And they've played together and they've got a lot of respect for each other, which is great. And I'm looking forward to them playing in the finals as well.
Yeah, Alfie hasn't skipped a beat. It's like he's been here the whole time.
It is. Yeah. He's just back into it as normal.
Yeah. Steve, did you happen to catch the Adelaide-Brisbane game? And if so, you know, any thoughts about it?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. I'd hope so.
I think, you know, Adelaide played well in the first half. They got the two early goals as well, which set them up. But I think, you know, the whole second half was all Brisbane. You know, they had their chances. A lot of these games, you know, obviously mistakes cause goals, but you know, it's if you take your chances when they come along. You know, Adelaide took their chances early on in the game, got in front, but Brisbane had their chances as well in the second half, and you know, they could have easily levelled the score. And I think if they would have levelled up, you know, it probably would have went their way, I think, because they were well on top in that second half.
I thought it might have been advantage Brisbane once Craig Goodwin was ruled out, but you know, Tommy Urich surprised us a bit.
He scored two good goals, obviously coming back from injury as well. So he's a danger player that we have to watch this week.
So Steve, we've met Adelaide three times this year, and we've had one of each. So we've had a win, a loss, and a draw. It's interesting though, that draw at Leichhardt, when I think Bobby got two goals, I think in that
match.
And you know, again, we've spoken about this on the pod before, that the Melbourne City game the week before that, which was a draw in the last minute, last second, really. And then the 2-2 draw with Adelaide. That before this run of wins we went on recently, they were probably two of the best performances of the season. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think we played really well. I think the City game, we really dominated that game. And if it wasn't for the penalty we gave away, right at the end of the game, that would have been a fantastic result for us. And the Adelaide game as well, I thought, for a good 75 minutes of that game, we were well on top. We were 2-0 up. We probably should have punished them a little bit more. We had probably two or three other chances that we should have punished them, and the game would have been dead and buried. But they were good performances. But, at the end of the day, these kind of games, if you look at the table where we finished second, we finished 2 points behind Melbourne City. And, these games, probably not them two only games, but we've had too many draws this year. You said we had a good season. I think we've had obviously finished second is good. But, I believe we could have finished first this year. And I think, we would have got it right early on in the season and not had so many draws, we obviously would have.
Mate, you still did pretty good. Don't be too hard on yourself, Stevie.
There's always improvement in there.
That is true. Continuous improvement. So looking at Adelaide this week, Sean mentioned that Craig Goodwin looks like he's not going to take any further part, especially not this week. But they've still got a lot of weapons. They've got a lot of young players. They've got a lot of energy, extremely quick on the counter. What do you see as their strengths under Carl Viet? And like, who are you in particular on the lookout for?
Yeah, I think their strength is their attack. Obviously, Juric has come in and scored 2 goals against Brisbane, so he's obviously a dangerous player, and something we have to watch out for. I like Cullerin as well, very quick player. Mork is also dangerous as well. If you give him a chance in the box, he scored probably 8 goals this season, and he has these like late runs into the box that you have to be aware of. You touched obviously about the pace that they have. That Toure, the young boy that comes off the bench, he's dangerous as well when he comes off. So, they've got a lot of strengths. So, obviously, we have to defend well, first and foremost, as a team, and which we have done all year. And then, we've got great attack as well. So, we want to play well. We want to entertain the crowd. Obviously, it's the semi-final. Everyone's going to be a little bit nervous at the start. Also, we've had the week off, so we want to start well. That's the key. I think for especially being at home, we want to dominate the game and get on top early and make our mark on the game.
Well, so how do we go about taking the game by the scruff of the neck? Like, how do you envisage us playing on Saturday night?
Well, it's a semi-final. You boys are definitely going to be up for it. Yeah. It's just about being, competing, winning our duels. Any ball that falls is, it's got to be to us. And then when we got control of the ball, we do what we do best. I think we have a lot of a great attacking players, a lot of build-up play as well. So once we get control of that ball, we want to keep them in their back third, really, and dominate the game from there, which we've done a lot this season. And when we've done that and we've pinned them, obviously, into their, final third there, that we dominate games and we score goals. And, as much as we can, we keep them away from our goal. That's the key. But, they've got a lot of quality players, and I think Carvey has done really well with them this season. So, it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, it's going to be a packed Cogger on Saturday night. What does a home final bring for the team?
Oh, it's massive. We talk about finishing one or two to get the home final, to get the Champions League spot as well, which is important for the club, and to give yourself the best chance of getting into the final. So we love playing at Kroger. It's a great atmosphere as well with all the fans there. I'm sure it's going to be a great turnout as well on Saturday night. It's the semi-final. We want everyone to turn up, get behind us. The Cove's always, magical. The players love it, and they love when the crowd get behind them. So, we're looking forward to playing at home again.
And is it you that gives the final message to the boys, or does Wilco bring them around and give them a bit of a pep talk before you go down that tunnel?
No, we always have a little circle just before we go out on the field, and that's always my final word. I give the final message to the players. Obviously Wilco is an experienced player, and he's the leader of the team. So I'm sure he has his moments that he speaks to the players. But as we go out, we're all together in a circle, and I'm the one speaking.
Nice. Now, Steve, couple of couple of lighthearted questions to end our chat. First one, who thinks they're funniest in the team?
I would say probably Ryan McGowan, I think. He's a bit of a he's a funny boy, very mischievous guy, but yeah, I would say he thinks he's funniest in the
team. Causing trouble for Arnie at the moment.
Yeah, that's good.
Someone else's problem.
Who's the most disobedient of the team? Who gets the most fines and causes the most ruckus?
Well, the boys look after the fines, so obviously, you know, we don't deal with that. But, I Patrick Flottman looks after the fines, so, you know, he's probably a better one to ask. But I think, you know, probably McGowan and Ryan Grant are the two for me that... I wouldn't say they're pests or cause big problems or anything like that, but, you know, after training, you know, sometimes you want the boys to go in, you know, they might do 5 minutes on their own, a bit of shooting and stuff, and these two are out kicking field goals, you know, at training. I'm thinking, please, just come inside now, stop mucking around. So, so they're two a bit of a handful like that, but they're very energetic guys as well, you know, they're very, they love a bit of humour and fun guys as well.
Second last, who puts the most time and effort into their appearance?
Maybe Costa, I think. Yeah. Who are you going to say apart from what?
I was going to say apart from you, Bimby, that's all. Silver Fox.
I was going to say Retro, but I got to say...
I don't know if Costa was good at training. He's got a good year and stuff like that. So he's got a new pair of shoes every week.
Yes, he does. He does.
He's got a good shirt collection, I think. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd probably say him.
Keep wearing that suit with the sneakers.
You know, I can confirm.
I know you saw him at IKEA the other day.
Yeah. I can confirm he scrubs up very nicely, Costa. My mum was very smitten.
That's great. Yeah.
And last one from me before we wrap it up. When we went to Facebook today and said, you know, we're lucky enough to have Steve Corriker on the pod, it was floated by somebody that – your statue goes next to Brosk. So the only question I've got for you is, how big do you want it?
when we had Broski on, I think we said, what do you want named after you at the new training centre? I think he said the toilet. So I don't know. Hopefully you can do better than that. Definitely not the gym. Definitely not the gym.
Definitely not the gym. Broski's, you know, definitely a legend of the club, and he probably deserves one. So, and a very top guy as well. So, obviously, very good player as well, and a good mate of mine.
Absolutely, mate. In a couple of weeks' time, they'll be modelling it with three A-League rings next to each other with your hands on them, my friend. On a final note, Steve, thanks so much for joining us, mate. Have you got a final message for the fans, the members, supporters of the biggest and best club in Australian football before we let you go?
Yeah, just turn up on Saturday night, support the boys. Like I said, they love playing in front of a big crowd, and the more we get, the better it's going to be for us. And we need them to bring us home to the final, another final. That's what we want.
And once again, a deep and heartfelt congratulations to Steve Corriker and family. So that was actually awesome. That was really kind of Steve to give us his time.
It was, yeah.
Jonathan. Highlights of that interview for you.
Highlights. Can I just say a quick thanks to Dave Warriner for helping us get Stevie onto the podcast. Like we said, this week's going to be absolutely smashed for the club and for Bimby. So we really, really do
absolutely
appreciate that. Highlights. another quick shout out to Mrs. Corriker.
This is just brilliant.
We like that you listen, and I especially also like the parts where you like all of the parts except when
we
Sean talks
Steve.
About Steve Corriker.
What?
Nothing.
Never happened.
Nobody said anything. No surprises with Steve. He's obviously knowing how to flick switches and how to get us into peak shape. And once again, we've had, you know, I think 5 or 6 wins in a row now leading into the semi-final, and
never doubted the team.
We never doubted
Paolo. Never doubted Costa.
But look, he's got a big job this week. It's going to be a tough game. No matter if we got Adelaide or
Brisbane Roar. It was always going to be a tough matchup. I think the club was preparing to have Central Coast Mariners, and potentially a big crowd. And again, we haven't had the best success against the Mariners this year. So, yeah, look, in a way, Stevie might be a little bit happy.
Mm, and highlights for you, Sean?
Get to talk to a wonderful coach.
Knows his stuff.
Obviously, given we're peaking.
Good bloke, articulate, humble. Generous with his time.
Knows when to make subs. Good formations.
So we're playing Adelaide on Saturday.
We are playing Adelaide
on
Saturday.
Thank you for that segue.
Anytime.
All right, look, in all seriousness, let's preview our massive semi-final. Us versus Adelaide United.
I thought you were just going to pause at massive semi.
massive. Saturday, 19th of June, 7:05. That's 5 minutes past seven. Kickoff at Netstrata Cogra Stadium. Get your backsides to there. Get your scarves. Throw your jersey on. Wear a sky blue t-shirt, whatever. Sky blue undies, whatever.
Ooh, yes.
And get down there and support them, which will be what would be typically a chilly night, but the warmth of everyone there supporting and getting the boys over the line.
The warmth of like seven of us in our little community going together. Like we haven't had seven blokes at game for a while.
Yeah, who are they? You, us three.
Let's not name them. Let's not give them that credit.
Okay. It's Tommy?
I think Tommy. Tommy, yeah.
Oh,
Tommy.
My God.
Tommy's the seventh.
Yeah.
Now, previous results-wise, we had that crappy 1-0 penalty earlier in the season, as you mentioned, Jono.
Bratton gave the penalty late.
Which I think was bullshit, but, I think it was hardly done. He doesn't have eyes in the back of his head.
Yeah,
And then we had a brilliant game against him when we were up 2-0 at Leichhardt, probably one of the performances of the season, albeit that last quarter or fifth of the game. Yeah. But I thought, on the whole, we played really well against Adelaide. And then just a matter of days or a couple of weeks ago, 4-1 belting my man Costa getting the opening goal, 4-1 against Adelaide in Adelaide. So
got to be confident.
Don't rest on your laurels, but take the confidence that if you play good football, we can beat this Adelaide United side. Predicted lineup, gents. How do we see that starting 11 going? Do we see it as like a more or less a, provided there's touch wood, no
touch
injuries
pat,
or whatever. figuratively speaking, yeah, you would too, literally. And so we'd see like a copy and paste 11 from what we saw rolled out against Brisbane the other day.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. I think, as I said to Bimby earlier, I think the strat of starting Paolo in that right back spot and then moving him in to shore it up in the latter stages works. It worked for us because we were ahead. I'm not sure if we were behind, that might be the go.
Well, he moved Retre in because Braddon had his.
Yeah.
Several yellow cards.
Yeah, yeah.
So that might not have to happen on Saturday. But so we see Paolo, we see Wilco, Wallen, and of course Joel. Tommy there in goals.
Caceres, Bratz in the middle.
Oh, God, that's a lethal starting two there in the middle.
I think Retre stays right again.
Yep.
Yeah, I think
absolutely.
Corica seemed to be quite a fan of Retre at right, which can't blame him.
He
did
a
really good solid.
And I just think, God, we love Harry, but I just think Retre offers a bit more going forward.
Hinted that he wants Paddy Wood to see some more game time in the next couple of weeks.
Mm. And Harry.
Mm. Said he might
said
be
he have a, both would have a role to play in the semis.
Mm. Mm.
So which gave me a semi.
That's
a semi Wood.
A semi. Semi Pat.
Pat semi. What?
You're playing
semi Rad Radra?
Yeah. It looks like Stevie like starting off with more of a somewhat of a conventional 4-3-3, and then as the subs happen in that later stage of the second half, they kind of revert to a 2-2-2.
And it can even go to a 4-2-3-1 with Bobo as a target.
Yeah. And Costa's form the last month has been pretty damn good, playing in that wider role and having a little bit more freedom to drop in as well, almost sometimes playing like a number 10, a second number 10 with Ninko. He's been very strong. Course, Alfie's work right up front. Good old Bobo. We're blessed to have that Brazilian back. So, I guess
we should ask if we were keeping him.
I guess what would be interesting is the use or who will be on the bench and the use of the bench.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it's always an interesting part, and of course, it's going to depend on what the score is at the time. But look, I think based off that Brisbane performance, a clean sheet, although on another day, it probably could have been a very different result had Tom Heward-Bell not had his goalkeeper's gloves on. It'll be interesting to see who first makes the bench, and then, you know, like you said, Sean, how it's utilised. But, you know, Adelaide faded again, as Steve alluded to.
The back end of the
very
season.
Good first half, just in this game, their semi-final. Had a very good first half against Brisbane. I got two quick goals, and then they were just on the back foot completely.
Do you reckon their goals and that first half, was it more on the back of an individual brilliance, an effort from Tommy Juric, or
a couple of good finishes?
Or the team themselves played really well.
But look, I think when you lose a player like Craig Goodwin, I think everyone sort of automatically says, "Yeah, we've got to step up,
or we're going
to
fill that void."
You know, nothing's going to happen, and you know they've still got some very, very good players, very experienced players in their starting lineup, and similar to us, a very youthful bench with both the Toure brothers and Josh Cavallo and Joe Coletti came on to shore up the midfield. So, yeah, it will be. I think the game will be on a knife's edge right up until the end. I think it's going to be a close one. I don't think we're going to see a 4-1, unfortunately.
3-1
probably be a tighter game than what we'd see with the MacArthur Melbourne City game, but you know. See how it all unfolds.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's crazy, isn't it?
Bit of a David and Goliath kind of battle, almost.
I mean, City, obviously, they've lost the core of their team. They've lost their spine in McLaren, Good, and Metcalf. And MacArthur, I actually went up to the Mariners-MacArthur game and I thought I was sussing out the opposition.
Doing some reconnaissance,
Yeah, but unfortunately, the Mariners didn't. It certainly wasn't their best performance.
Yeah.
And you know, MacArthur, they just hung on and battled. But again, they didn't create too much until extra
with
time.
With 10 men.
So, yeah. So, geez. It's going to take a big turnaround in performance from the Cows to beat Melbourne City, even with those losses, I think. So, we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see what comes next.
Well, we'll see, of course, the likes of Paddy Wood on the bench, Floddy as that backup. I'd like to see whether we see a Callan Talbot or a Paddy Azbeck on the bench. Ivanovic, who am I thinking? Harry, of course. And then ABJ. It'll be interesting to see the use of ABJ when he comes on. You know, maybe he doesn't, you know, depending
Does
on how.
Does he start?
Nah. I don't think he will. He's good impact off the bench, and maybe that might be something we need if we're looking for something, if we're searching for a goal or something like that. If we're up, I don't know if we'd even use him and maybe put on a Harry or a Floddy or something like that. Yeah. But
I think it really depends how the game's going, Jimmy.
I'm just kind of reflecting on the ABJ fall from grace in the last couple of weeks, right?
Would you call it a fall from grace?
Well, he's not been starting. He's not, you know. He just seems
nice assist for Harry last week.
Just seems a bit on the outer, wasn't it? Right? I don't know.
Because he'd probably start just about in any other team.
And the Max Burgess rumours and it's kind of ever since then it's just not been. It's like, okay, well, you're about to say goodbye to him. So I was just kind of reflecting on that.
I reckon he'd be wanting to stay, judging by his Instagram. Loves Sydney.
Yeah, fits in well.
Loves a fashion show, hey?
He does. Ridiculous outfits.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I don't think I'd be able to only afford like the laces on those shoes or the entire outfit, but I digress. Predicted score, gentlemen.
3-1.
Oof. Yeah, let's steal that. I'm going to say 3-1, but late goal. A late goal. So it'll be 2-1 for a lot of it, I think.
I'm going to say 2-0 to the Sky Blues.
To make our third grand final. In a row.
And well, that would be 6 and 7 years or 7 and 8 years. Wait. Oh, no, this is 6 or 7 semifinals, isn't it? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. My bad.
100%.
All right, so boys, men, women, children, everything else, make your way down to Cogra on Saturday and get behind the boys in blue.
100%. Let's quickly talk about what happened in the NPL on the weekend. Sydney FC.
You'd hate to be a coach, Jonathan.
On the back. I'd hate to be. Actually, let's ask Jimmy. Jimmy, how'd the boys go this weekend?
Look, could have done better. So, yeah, could have done better. But happy that Jen Kaczowski was back.
Yes.
Yes, my favourite. Finally back. gentlemen, it was absolutely, you know, Jimmy would be pulling his hair out, but
I am.
Van Weeren too. Devastating, incredibly narrow loss to Sydney Elite, literally in at a time of second half.
It was the cherry on top of a trying week.
1-0 loss with a goal to Yu Hasegawa, their Japanese import. He's a very strong player, great off the bench. And with Sutter Sharks winning against Mount Druitt, 2-1, something like that. We're back to the bloody bottom of the table with, I want to say, 6 games, maybe 5 games left this season. Though we had our chances to win it, definitely, especially in the second half. There was quite a few golden chances, but the young keeper, Sydney Olympics, Nicholas, I think he's first name, Soras, he's a great young keeper. He'd actually do well at an A-League level, I think, you know, if you're looking for a starting keeper, if not a backup keeper for the A-League.
Give him a crack.
Absolutely. Jaden, our mate, Kucharski, had a close shot on range, 85th minute, but so good. It's just...
Why is he so good, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Hard work, dedication, good motivational listening habits.
Yeah, pace up and down the flanks.
Mm.
Played hard, done good. Game of two halves.
Would. Got to score to win.
But our favourite Jimmy Van Weeren, not this guy.
Hang on.
Don't
know. I like Jimmy Van Weeren more.
That's all right. I've never met a Sean I liked.
No, neither have I, other than myself.
Do you even like yourself?
I do.
We're getting deep on Sky Blue stories.
Tell me about your childhood.
It all comes about converting chances. Sydney Olympic had one in the end in the 94th minute, and they took it, and we didn't. So it's a learning curve for the fellas. It's a learning moment. We're disappointed. They've got a tough game on their hands. Speaking of next week, Manly United.
Like they're a rubber steak from a pet barn.
Yeah. Top four team. It's a race to the finals. Other than like Blacktown and United setting the pace, there's a little bit of a two-horse race with them, and then you've got about 4 or 5 teams kind of battling for that next 4 or 3 spots. I believe it's a top 5 system in the NPL. So a really tough game on their hands against Manly, which they lost 2-0 to earlier in the season. So that freaking game for
Dolphins.
Them. Yes, the bloody Dolphins.
The bloody Dolphins.
So if Saturday night's not enough football for you when you see the Sky Blues down at Cogra, down at Netstrata, you've got more football with Sydney FC versus Manly United, Sunday the 20th of June, 6:30 p.m. down at our home ground at the moment, Rockdale Sports Centre. And looking forward to seeing more Jaden Kucharski. And be interested to see if any of the boys on Saturday night, maybe like a Callan Talbot or Paddy Asbeck, back up on the Sunday, I should say.
But depend on their game time. The Sky Park, this is a question for both of you. Sky Park, that becomes the NPL ground once that's built, doesn't it?
Don't know.
I don't think so. Course they'll train there and whatnot.
Because I haven't mentioned like stadium seating or anything. Yeah.
Well, no, wasn't there...
There's like a...
Stands?
Viewing platform.
No.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a big kind of... What do you call them? Not like an amphitheatre. No. Like big concrete kind of... steps. But no, I think it'd be like obviously FIFA approved field and then certified when you want to call it in the lighting, but I don't know if it's going to have the capacity to hold a few hundred crowd
maybe
or whatever
in the future. I give us some hope, Sean, against Manly. I do. They've actually got a FFA Cup game against Sydney Olympic
midweek
Wednesday night, so again, for part-time footballers, 2 games in a week is always a bit of a struggle. So it will be interesting to see how that matchup goes between Olympic and Manly Wednesday night before they take on our boys.
Our fellas on Sunday. Gentlemen, what an absolute massive pod we've had.
Huge pod.
Massive huge pod.
And there's still more to come.
Yep. There is.
Speaking of more to come.
Any last words before we sign off?
Just bring on Saturday night.
Yep, Saturday night. Looking forward to it. Hopefully see you all down there.
Hashtag keen.
And before we do sign off, we're going to leave you with a interview that we had with one of our patrons, Eric.
It's almost like a review, isn't it?
It is. Eric shares with us his Sky Blue story, his thoughts about the Adelaide game, and his hopes for the future remaining of this season. So hope you enjoy our chat with Eric. We certainly did. And we'll see you next week.
Tonight we're joined by another one of our brilliant patrons who have signed up to be, well, a contributor to our little folly of a podcast, which is a term that I've already used tonight. Eric joins us, one of the OG Patreons. Eric, thanks for joining Sean, James, and myself.
Hey guys, no. Thanks for inviting me to chat a little bit. But yeah, appreciate your time as well.
Mate, it's the pleasure is all ours. So tell us why give our listeners a bit of a motivation. Why do you contribute to our wonderful podcast that is the best and that you are very gladly giving up some of your hard earned money for?
Thank you for that, by the way.
You're welcome. Look, honestly, I think it's just not a lot of Sydney FC kind of content out there, and so. I think when you guys first released a few of the early ones and managed to get some really, really good guests, good banters, obviously. I just felt, why not support quote unquote quality content?
stop it.
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, like if you can spare, a little bit of cash, then it's something that's very close to my heart, obviously.
And thank you. No, we really do appreciate it, mate, and all of our Patreons for that matter. All of those funds help us keep distributing this thing because there are fees and whatnot that come with these bit of fun. So thank you so much for that.
And your cocaine habit.
And that's generally not spoken about on pods, like being employed. But anyway, speaking of some of the early guests, Eric, what's been your favorite Sky Blue Stories episode so far, or your favorite guest? What's
nice one?
What's the favorite?
Look, I think I always enjoy the DT episodes. So,
Danny.
Anytime Danny comes onto the show, I think
he was trying to steal my job on the podcast.
Yeah, look, I think you're just gonna have to gonna have to turn up more.
Yeah,
I'm the most consistent member of this show.
You and then Danny.
Yeah pretty much. He's never let us down.
We'll start a new pod.
By a country mile. So I think I enjoy the episodes that Danny's come on to kind of just chat about what it takes to really just run a club. I think we like to tell everyone that we're the biggest club, but not a lot of people actually understand how difficult and the job, how big a job it is to kind of run club our size.
Absolutely.
Eric. I really appreciate it. Sorry.
No, mate. I was out of curiosity. Are you a footballer yourself? You play on the weekends or anything like that? Or?
No, I haven't kicked the ball in anger since probably uni. So quite a while ago. So, no, unfortunately, I'm not. I'm just a tragic on my couch, yelling.
I'm chair critic
at 22 grown men, kicking the ball around. So yeah, no, unfortunately, no, I don't.
Fair enough. So what's your Sky Blue story, Eric? How did you get involved with supporting the club? What's the background there?
I went to the University of New South Wales.
Very nice.
And so it's just down the road from Moore Park, obviously. Yep. And tickets were pretty cheap back in 2005, 2006 season.
Okay. So, original. Nice.
Yeah. So that's sort of kind of how I got into it.
Cheap tickets.
Started out.
That's how we get them. Ticket.
You like blue.
And a couple of friends who ironically are no longer interested in the game. Former friends. Yeah,
exactly.
I haven't seen them for years, so we know why. that's pretty much just how I got in. I like the experience. I like watching the game in general. So, but I didn't actually become a fully paid member until, I think couple of seasons. Yeah, I think I wasn't until 2006-07. So,
okay.
That's a decent decade.
I was just unemployed.
15 still, years ago, yeah. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you've been following for quite a while then. Who's your favourite player that you've seen come through
of
the ranks?
Of all time.
Yeah, and why is it Mark Yanko?
Of all time. Yeah. Mark Yanko, jeez.
Yes.
yeah. Great first goal. Look, I think this is a tough one. I was afraid that you were going to ask me that.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think just on a scale of someone who personifies the club, I'd have to go with Broski.
Yeah.
Broski's the only... the story is basically the only player I've got printed
on the shirt. Nice.
Is Alex Brock.
Nice.
Yeah. So it may or may not have been, you know, a promotion, and so I got a discount. But
fair enough.
But no. But I think it was just Broski.
Nice.
Nice. And what's your favorite Brosk related memory?
Anytime he scored against Wanderers, I guess. that's not really an answer, but
that's all right.
Wow, so many to choose from. I think his final goal for us.
Semi-final
victory. Mm. Yeah, mm. I think that's just kind of it just capped off like a great career and summed him up. Like that, you know, like his celebration was, it's probably not the best goal that
epitomizes him and everything he gave to us.
It wouldn't be, you know, his best goal, I would say, or most important, but I think it just kind of punctuated
memorable.
The career he had with us. Yeah.
Well,
we'll forget the fact that he started out at Queensland. Yeah. Or whatever.
Exactly.
Well, in a nutshell, Eric, this might be hard, but how would you describe how the boys have gone this season?
I think it's a bit of a tough one because, you know, I think we probably didn't have the best start and
it's been
pretty
slow. Yeah,
even though
slow,
you know, we weren't bad. We weren't bad. You know, we never really fell out of the top four, probably five. Mm. But that's only because we had like three or four games in hand.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a funny season in that regard. Yeah, our striking, our goal scoring has been the struggle. But, yeah, midfield and defensive-wise, we've been actually quite strong, yeah.
Look, I think overall we've done really well. No, City's obviously the benchmark this season, and I think, you know, deservedly so. Mm. They've done really well, but I think the turning point was just getting the gang back together.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, getting Alfie back. Mm. You know, I think was it Vince Rigardi who wrote few months ago how we had one of the shittest XGs something.
Yeah.
And I think I haven't done the actual numbers, but I think we've pretty much turned that around. So okay, here we go. I think Sydney FC, what XG overall, okay, City's like 2.11. We're second at 1.88.
Mm. We've definitely seen a considerable improvement over the last few weeks. Well, we've got a big game on Saturday, Eric, and I expect you there. Can you give us a score prediction for the game?
I think we're probably going to come out pretty, you know, winners comfortably. Maybe 3-1.
3-1.
I'll only say that because I think Adelaide up until they won against Brisbane, they never won outside. They never won a finals game outside
of Adelaide. Yeah,
outside Adelaide. Yeah. So
really,
there you go. So then they broke that duck, and but I think Craig Goodwin might be a question mark. So.
Yeah, we think he's out. Yeah, we think he's out. So that's definitely going to help our cause.
But who cares?
Exactly.
Just care about
exactly
the way we. And I think we've peaked just at the right time.
It's something we've seemed to have done the last couple of seasons, isn't it? It's almost a trademark of Corica's teams is hitting that peak at the right time, and with I think 5 wins out of the last 6 or 7, the boys have definitely flicked that switch, as we like to say on here, as Danny once said to us on there as well. Eric, you're going to be there on the weekend, I assume.
Look, unfortunately, I've got family commitment.
Family.
Yeah, I know. I was
Sydney,
thinking of getting
family.
A new family.
Oh,
but
harsh. Gosh.
But I figured I should make an appearance.
You will.
But,
definitely will. Well, at least you've made an appearance on Sky Blue Stories podcast this week. So
that's right.
That's the most important.
The thing. Only one that matters.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, mate, we thank you once more for contributing to this every single month. And if anyone else is interested in being like Eric and chucking us a couple of dollars a month to help us keep going on this roller coaster of a podcast, as James described it earlier, please jump on, search Sky Blue Stories on Patreon, and we would be eternally grateful. Thank you, Eric, for joining us on Sky Blue Stories.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.